Now, you'll notice, when he entered into the house, they came to him. Verse 18, he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. Now this is what comes out of man. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And I'll guarantee you that if you buy your morning paper, wherever you live, and will read the paper, you'll find out this is what came out of man during the last 24 hours in the world. Adulteries, fornications, murders, and anger's murder, you know. Thefts, loafing on the job is stealing. Covetousness, my grasping and greediness for material things and positions today. That's covetousness. And that's what comes out of man. Wickedness, all that, acts that are intended to hurt people. Deceit, that's the pretense that people put up. Lasciviousness is sensuality. Evil eye, that's envy. And slander against God or man is blasphemy. And pride, God hates this above all else, he says, and foolishness, acts done without any respect of God or man. These are the things that come out of the heart of man, and that's the reason the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. Now we have this incident of the Syrophoenician woman. We've had this before. You'll recall that our Lord went into this country, stepped out of his own land. This woman was a Greek. She was a citizen of Tyre, and she came to Jesus in faith. And the word daughter means it's the diminutive, which means she's just a little girl. And our Lord's treatment of her may appear brutal at first, but you'll remember that in the Gospel of Matthew, you have there the dispensational interpretation, which I think reveals here something that is tremendous, the accuracy of the four Gospels. Now, this is another conspicuous example of the faith of one on the outside. And our Lord answered her petition, and the question arises, did he really come to that area for the specific purpose of answering the faith of this woman? Now, in verse 31, and again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, you see, he's been out of the country now, he came under the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. Now, Decapolis is really translated 10 cities. And they're in the area near the Sea of Galilee. Now the list includes the following: Scythopolis, Hippus, Gadara, Pila, Philadelphia, Gerasa, Dion, Canatha, Raphana, Damascus. I was at the ruins of Gerasa, or Jerish as it's called today. And I thought, this is one of the places my Lord came and he taught, and the crowds came in those cities. He had a tremendous ministry in this area. And we're told, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And may I say, all these were aids to faith. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. He charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And the whole thought here reveals the fact that this was the condition of the man, I think, caused Jesus to use this method. His ears were first opened so that he could hear. And it was apparently useless to try to get the crowd to remain silent now. And this is the miracle that brought a great impetus in enlarging the ministry of the Lord Jesus, which had already broken all bounds. And at this time, pressure upon Jesus was humanly unbearable. And in spite of the pressure put upon him, the burdens of the multitudes, the tension of the times, the long busy days, the weariness of the body, the crowd could say, "He hath done all things well." And we just add our word to it and say, we agree with it. He does today all things well.